Violence against women is pervasive across Asia and the Pacific. It really cuts across every distinction of economic development, of geography, of culture. There is no country that is immune to violence against women.
So why is it so prevalent? Are there no rules in place or policies in place?
There are many countries that have adopted laws to end violence against women, and that's a very important first step. But unfortunately, implementing laws have been much more difficult than adopting them.
And what are some of the challenges to implementing the laws?
One of the main challenges is impunity. It's very difficult to enforce the law, and we're seeing that there's a lot of impunity and perpetrators are not held accountable for their actions. Another challenge is the lack of investment in essential services. Oftentimes, essential services for women and girls who experience violence are not available. For example, health services, psychosocial support, counseling. There's a whole range of services that women who experience violence need, and oftentimes they're not available. Or if they are available, they're only available in some urban areas, perhaps, so that women who live in more remote communities, or women who suffer multiple forms of discrimination, for example, women migrant workers, or women living with HIV, or young women, may not have access to any services at all.
So what is UN Women doing to try and alleviate this problem?
UN Women, together with our partners, has been working with countries to adopt strong legislation that covers all forms of violence against women, but also to strengthen enforcement of those laws, working with police, working with prosecutors and judges to make sure that they understand their obligations and that they are able to deliver effective services.
You mentioned a minute ago about the rural regions, the lack of services. What do you think UN Women can do to try and make it a better services for women in the rural areas?
So UN Women, together with our UN partners, have a global program on essential services, which is about coming up with standards of what services should be available for all women and girls. It's not enough to reach those that are in urban centers. We have to get to the most at risk and to those who are in the most remote areas, in the most remote communities, the ones who are the most marginalized. So we are working, for example, with health systems strengthening across the UN family. We're working with strengthening the criminal justice system. We're working at social services. And perhaps the most important is working to strengthen coordination. We need much stronger coordination between services so that the whole of society works together. If a woman faces violence, she may come to a doctor, she may come to a local leader, she may come to a women's shelter, or she may go to a police station. And it's critical that no matter where she goes, that the answer is the same.
Do you think that men need to be part of this conversation?
Men absolutely need to be part of the conversation because we understand that the reason why violence happens is closely linked to harmful ideas of what it means to be a man. And so transforming these masculinities and promoting healthy, respectful, and equitable way of being a man is a key part of the solution.
And what do you mean by harmful practices of being a man?
Many men believe that to be a man, you have to be tough. You have to be strong. You have to exercise power over women. And this does not mean that all men use violence. In fact, we know that most men do not. But it can lead to violence in some cases. So we need men to stand up and reject these controlling notions of what it means to be a man and instead promote more equitable and respectful ways of being.
And have you seen that happening with men and younger people standing up?
UN Women has been working with young people, especially with young men, to promote more equitable relationships. So we have young men who are now activists within the movement, running radio talk shows, talking about respectful communication, running social media campaigns and blogging about this issue, working as journalists to promote more gender-sensitive reporting, or working as peer educators to talk to their friends about respectful relationships.
And what about political participation, the amount of women that are in parliaments? Do you see that increasing, or do you see that as a problem in terms of being able to change minds and attitudes about violence against women?
In Asia and the Pacific, the share of women in parliaments is slowly increasing, but not as quickly as we would like to see. It is around 19% of parliamentarians in Asia and around 16% in the Pacific. So, of course, this is a problem because women are not at the table where the decision-making happens. So, of course, it is essential to increase the number of women in leadership positions, not only in national parliaments, of course, at all levels. We are seeing women not represented in the police, amongst prosecutors and judges, and we do want women to be in all of these spaces, because we know, for example, with sexual assault, that where you have more women within the police force, the rate of reported cases goes up because women feel more comfortable to come forward.